Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, sir, of the 2020 Podcast, LLC. Please say the LLC. And before you listen to this episode, I just got to let you know, I need you to stop what you're doing. Go to blkrenaissance.com, and I need you to shop for the culture. That's right. Anytime you use the promo code LLC20 at Black Renaissance Clothing's website, you will get 20% off your order. Off rip, no questions asked. So do me a favor and do it for the culture. Peace.
Hey, this is KJ, and I have a question for you. When was the last time you got something nice for yourself? That's what I thought. So why not visit www.theblurredsyndicate.com and get something that will help you express who you really are. They've got shirts, mugs, purses, mouse pads, and even aprons for the gorillas of the family. So if you're a fan of anime, pro wrestling, or hell, even the Golden Girls, the Blurred Syndicate has got you covered. Also, if you use the code LLC20 at checkout, you'll get 20% off your order. So what are you waiting on? I got mine. Come get yours. And remember to join the BS.
Hi guys. It's Mr. I'm Just Being Honest, host of the Truth Serum Podcast, podcast for the people. You can find me on Spotify, Anchor, and Buzzsprout. More networks coming soon. Happy listening.
The self-destruct sequence has been activated. Repeat, the self-destruct sequence has been activated. This sequence may not be aborted. All employees proceed to the emergency car at the bottom platform.
Okay, we lit it just like a fuse, so no need to pick and choose. Welcome to 2020, where we do more than interviews. The hottest beat coming through, jumping knowledge on all that you get. A peek at the front of you with the truth that they offer you. Yeah, hands up, we doing it for the culture. To give artists and businesses more exposure. Keeping it real and stay silent just like a boulder. It's about to go all the way down, can't get no lower. Chasing my dreams, know that they get no slower. But if I stay running, I promise they getting closer. Moreover, success my older. And if you're sleeping on me, I'm waking them up like Folgers. I told you, coming from the land with the Tyrol, where we'll be on the whole different vibe, though. We like to ride slow and keep our windows tinted so you really can see us. Like Stevie Wonder waking up with his eyes closed. Yeah, got the kind of flow that rocked the boat. On my 16s of pounds of dope. And if you figure you can hang with me on the mic, then grab some rope. Matter of fact, better grab some hope while you at it. We keep it live, it's time to tune in. Turn up the sound on what you're using. It goes so hard, I think it's bruising. The show is 2020, no need to zoom in. Yeah.
And straight like that. Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, Sir, of the 2020 Podcast, LLC. Please say the LLC. And it is October. It's a very important month. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I would be remiss if I didn't take time out of our schedule to kind of talk about this topic that does seem to still plague our communities. Along the way, I have met some amazing people. One is joining me today. Miss Hillary, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, no problem at all. This, like we were saying off camera, this was something you and I had been discussing for a while now that we wanted to get an opportunity to do, and things fell in line. We finally got a chance to do this. So before we go any further, I just want to say thank you for taking time out your day to do this.
Oh, thank you. It is such an honor to be here. You've had some really, really awesome people on your show. So I am so honored to be one of them.
Awesome. So Hillary, if we can like just go dive right into it here at Candid Conversations, we just speak freely. We just talk about what it is, what our experiences are, and how that shapes us today. So if you could give us a little background on you and what you've experienced and what.
Yeah, sure. So definitely. So I'm not here representing any specific agency. Everything that I'm sharing comes from my personal and professional experiences. I have been a sexual assault and domestic violence victim advocate since 2016. I'm very, very blessed to do it full time. I'm also a survivor of sexual assault and domestic violence, which is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about these particular topics, because I mean, it's stuff that people don't really want to talk about. They want to shy away from, and we're going to be able to combat it by people knowing, you know, the signs of it and what to do whenever you're involved in it or you know somebody who's involved in it.
Awesome. Awesome. And like I said, this is something that's kind of near and dear to us because it's many people that I've seen over the years who haven't had a voice. And Hillary, I just want to give you your flowers. You're one of the people that I've seen not only speak out openly about it, but you're very candid about it. You've shared your experiences in various medias that I've seen before, whether it be one-on-one conversations or just, you know, speaking in public forums like I've seen you do before. I think that's kind of amazing of you. So let's get into it. So you mentioned that you are a survivor.
I am.
Did you want to share like your backstory?
Yeah, well, so I'll share about the domestic violence, since this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Right. So I met somebody when I was just turning 21. So, you know, you're right on that cusp of I'm not a kid anymore. I'm finally officially adult. I can do whatever I want. I can make my own choices. Ha ha ha. boy, does life have other plans. So I met somebody when I was right around that age. And right from the beginning, things got really, really... we got really involved really quick, which is definitely, you know, when you talk about signs to look for, if somebody is like pressuring you, like, oh my gosh, I'm so in love with you. We should move in. We should start talking about getting married. If they are just like constantly right there with you the whole time and y'all haven't known each other that long, that is a major, major red flag. But of course, me thinking I was an adult, I'm like, oh no, this is how adult relationships are. They move quickly. We don't have time for games and everything like that. So it does. It happens really, really quick. And by the time you realize what kind of situation you're in, a lot of times it's really hard to get out. So within just a few months, we were living together and things got really hectic really quick. And we ended up having to live with his parents for a while because he was not paying the bills. So we moved in with his parents and they kind of got me to quit the job that I was doing. So I was a nanny for a while and they wanted me to come work for them. So I started working for them, and before too much longer, my cell phone plan was through theirs. And they got me a vehicle because my car broke down. So they had their fingers on everything of mine. So it's like, if I needed to get away, I was going to be losing my vehicle. I was going to be losing my source of income. I was going to be losing the roof over my head. So it's one of those things where it's like, do I just, you know, things are rough, but would it be rougher if I leave? And more often than not, chance it, get out while you can. So again, things continue to move quickly. And, you know, he had a very, very, a very creative way of like tearing me down little by little. And he would give little breadcrumbs of affection where it's like, oh, you know, I yearn for that. I yearn for the good times, but there were so many more bad times. And I'm sorry, I haven't had to rehash this in a minute. So I'm just like having to go back and like process everything. It's crazy because, you know, I spent over 6 years with this person and it seriously feels like it went by in the blink of an eye. So by the time I like realized how deep I was into it, I was already married and pregnant. And I was like, what am I going to do? Because now I have, you know, a child with this person. They're going to be involved in my life for the rest of my life. So that was really, really scary. But by the time my daughter came along, I was like, you know what? It's one thing for me to keep myself in this situation. It's something entirely different to have an innocent child be stuck in this situation with no way out. And that was kind of what gave me the motivation to leave. I was like, this is not normal. I don't want her growing up thinking this is normal or healthy. She deserves better. So in that sense, my daughter definitely saved me and she was my motivation for getting out of there. And then once I was out and I was like, you know, things still weren't great. I ended up having to move back in with my mom for like 2.5 years. And that was not an easy situation because one of the reasons that I left as quickly as I did whenever I first got into the relationship is I didn't have the best home life. Like my mom and I, we just we have very, very clashing personalities. So I was like, no, I will do anything to get out of this house. And, you know, I have this person who seems like an adult. He has a job. He has a car. He has all this stuff going for him. Like, yeah, this is a good solution. So I ended up having to move back in with her for 2.5 years with a toddler. And it was hell, but it still wasn't anything compared to what I was going through before. So I was like, you know what, I can stick it out, and I'm just gonna work and save up money. And that's exactly what I did. And I mean, where I'm at now, I never ever imagined I could be in the position that I am now. So one of the things that I always tell to my clients that I work with, I'm like, you know, it might not seem like it, and it's not gonna be an overnight fix. It's gonna be a long, difficult process, but it is so worth it. And there is a light at the other side of this. Like, you just have to keep putting in the work and keep putting one foot in front of the other, and there is a way to get out of this.
And I think it's awesome that you admit that, you know, part of the reason that sometimes we get into these situations with people is our hastiness. I also experienced something similar, because I went to the college I attended because I was so ready to get out of the house, you know, at a very young age. I think I had just hit 18 and went as far as I could within the state of Alabama just to get away. And I think that speaks to a different type of trauma that we find it difficult to cope with while living with that particular type of family dynamic where you're not able to get along like we should. And like you say, sometimes I don't think it's a bad person or a good person clash, and sometimes, like you say, it's just a personality clash. Sometimes different types of attitudes don't gel well as, you know, people grow. My issue was I kept being viewed as a child and treated as such instead of allowing me that space to grow and learn. It was, you need to do this, you need to do that, and that further pushed me out. So I wanted to ask you, what are some other red flags that we as young people, and I mention young people because I've had these conversations before, and the number one response I get, oh, that could never be me. That could never be me. I do this, I do that. Like, what are some other things we can look out for that can seem kind of small or kind of common, but are precursors for larger activity?
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing I say is, by the time you start seeing the red flags where it is like blatantly obvious, like, oh, this is very unhealthy, this is very toxic, this is dangerous, this is violent, a lot of times by the time you see those, you're really, really in the thick of the relationship, and it is very, very hard to get out. So I always encourage people to look for the yellow flags where it's like, you know, it could be one of those things where it's like, you know, maybe it's not bad, but it's also concerning, and you need to be very alert. And those can be like, if they don't get along with your friends, that's a big one, because your friends are your support system. They're your chosen family. And if they can't give them like the proper respect and appreciation, and if they can't, you know, like put aside their differences so that you can spend time, and if they're constantly like, oh, your friend is stupid, they're bad influences, they don't want you to exceed, if they're constantly like planting seeds, that's a huge one. And same with your family, when they talk about your family badly whenever they're not around. Wanting to know where you are every second of every day. It's one thing to check in and be like, hey, how are you doing? How's your day going? What are you up to? But when it's constantly like, where are you? Send me a picture of where you are. Who are you with right now? When I call you, you need to answer. That's another one. Let's see, what are some other? There's a lot. If they plant kind of seeds of self-doubt where they're not necessarily like calling you names, but whenever, if you tell them like one of your goals or your dreams, and they're like, well, that's ridiculous, that would never work, or what would you do about this, what would you do about that, when they're constantly questioning you, that's another one. Again, with it starting really, really heavy off the bat, when they're wanting to get very involved very quickly, that's a huge one. If y'all haven't been together that long and they're pushing for y'all to move in together, or, you know, wanting to get engaged right away, like that's one of those things where you need to take a step back. It's so important. And I tell this to people all the time. You really need to take your time getting to know the person who is a potential partner for you. because yeah, because if you get into this situation really quick and you start to see your true colors again, it might not be as easy to get out as it would have been at the beginning.
I agree. So let's talk about on the other side. I think a lot of times, being the friend who's witnessed, a lot of times we find it hard to have those conversations when sometimes people are so deeply ingrained with those people. So what are some of the ways we can kind of be advocates or of ourselves to kind of make the space free to speak about those things so that they're receptive?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that is so incredibly important. You have to say something to your friends whenever you're seeing stuff that's concerning or potentially dangerous. Definitely try to get them alone where they don't have that person who's like in the other room and they could be listening in. Try to get them to themselves and to express your concerns. Be like, hey, I've noticed this. Your personality is starting to change. I've noticed your appearance is starting to change, like not in a good way, because a lot of times abusers don't want you to, you know, get fixed up and look nice, because then they accuse you of trying to look nice for somebody else. And it's just very manipulative. So they have a way of just kind of tearing you down. So you can be like, hey, I've noticed that, you know, there's starting to be a lot of changes and I'm worried about you and I care about you and I just want to know if there's anything I can do to help. But a lot of times you can tell them all the things, you can show them all the evidence right in front of their face, but until that person is ready, there's really not much you can do. And that is one of the biggest challenges that I have in my job, is we'll have clients come in and sometimes we're able to offer them like a completely new beginning where it's like, here's employment, here's transportation to employment, here is housing, here is clothing, here is childcare, here is everything you could possibly need to start over and get a fresh start and never have to deal with that person again. It is right here on a silver platter, and the people will take it, and within a month they're right back to the abuser. So it takes the person having to recognize when enough is enough and knowing when to walk away.
And I hear you. I hear you. That willpower and is something that is internal. And I think that's part of the issue with myself. I'm one of those friends that is a fixer. I want to fix everything. And these are those situations where sometimes the more you try to do, the more detrimental it can be.
Yeah. So, yeah, because the more you try to help, a lot of times the abuser is right there in their ear being like, they're just jealous of what we have. They just want you to themselves. They're selfish and they're just sitting there planting seeds. And again, they're so calculating and so manipulative, and they know all the right buttons to press to get you to believe them. But the most important thing that friends and family can do for people who are in domestic violence relationships is just be a support and don't ever get up or give up on them. Like, I completely understand you have to have your boundaries. That is so incredibly important. And you have to protect your own peace as well. So I'm not saying you have to sit there in their living room while they're getting beat in the other room to be a support. But whenever they call you and they're like, hey, I'm ready to go, be there for them. Do what you can to help. Sometimes it takes several times for them to finally leave. On average, it takes approximately 7 times for a victim to completely leave a situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. That's a lot.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes more. Sometimes it takes less. I mean, each situation is very, very different. But as long as they know they have somebody who has their back, who can catch them whenever they, you know, they have reached the breaking point, that's what makes all the difference. Because when they get to the point where they're like, I have absolutely nobody, I have nowhere to go, everybody has given up on me because of this person, they're going to stay there because that's just reinforcing what their abuser has been telling them when they're like, you're worthless. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody's coming to help you. Nobody's coming to save you. You're on your own. You're stuck with me. It just reinforces that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask a personal question, because
when I
think of getting ready to leave, and I like how you brought up presenting resources for the victim, which I think is absolutely critical. I think before you advocate for someone to change their life, because essentially that's what it is, they will need a plan. So it is important in planning to ensure the safety of this person. So I wanted to ask you in particular, you mentioned in your situation, you know, you became pregnant. How did that affect your decision to leave the domestic violence household and scenario you were in?
Oh, well, again, it took me several times to fully walk away and be like, you know what, I have tried everything that I can possibly do. I cannot do anymore, and it's going to end up killing me if I don't leave now. So I definitely, you know, I tried to make it work several times after that. I mean, the day that I got married, it's like I knew in the back of my mind, I had a voice telling me, like, you don't have to do this. You don't need to do this. There's, you know, there's better out there. There's more for you. You're meant for more than this. And I feel like part of me was just waiting for somebody to be like, Hillary, please don't do this. Like, we hate him. He is horrible to you. Please, please don't do this. Let's just leave. But you know, nobody's going to do that on your wedding day, because everybody's like, if you're happy, I'm happy. So I went through with it, and I ended up getting pregnant almost immediately after getting married, which is also another tactic that abusers use. Is they will get their partners pregnant very, very quickly. So even if you do decide to leave, you're still connected to them with that child. And that child just becomes a pawn to them. But he would often tell me, like, well, whenever this happens, things will get better. Whenever we get a new house, things will get better. Whenever I get a better job, things will get better. When we get married, things will get better. When we finally have the baby, things will get better. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna keep holding on. And I had the baby, and it seriously wasn't long after that when I saw that he really wasn't going to change, and that this, you know, innocent, beautiful life that we were just gifted meant absolutely nothing to him. And I'm like, that there is a lot of darkness inside of him. I cannot fix that. I have done everything I can. I tried to do marriage counseling. But that's another thing that people don't realize when it comes to domestic violence. Marriage counseling does not work, because marriage counseling is not designed for abuse. Marriage counseling is whenever there is a problem that two people recognize, they just cannot figure out how to work through this problem. So marriage counseling puts the effort on both parties in the relationship, whereas abuse, that is solely on the abuser. That has nothing to do with the victim. There is nothing a person can do that will make them deserve to be hit or be called names or be caused to be talked down to, anything like that. So at that point, I was like, no, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to get better. We have done all these things and nothing is improving. If anything, it's only getting worse. And so there was one day it got really, really bad. I tried talking to people at church and they were kind of like, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't really know what to tell you. This is kind of out of our league. But the way that he talked to me in front of them really, really upset me. And we got home and he made like no effort to try to reconcile or anything like that. And I'm like, you know what? This is it. I have done literally everything I can do. So I packed up my stuff and I called my mom and I'm like, I need help. I need to get out of here. And she's like, all right, get your stuff. As soon as your daughter wakes up, grab whatever you need and just come on and we'll deal with this later. So that's what I did. I grabbed our essentials and I went to my mom's house the next day, went and filed for a protection order against him, filed for divorce, which that was a lengthy process. And there was a lot of back and forth with that. But it was at that point that I knew that there was just nothing else that could be done that could fix what had happened. Like, this just, I'd lost so much trust and I just was a shell of who I was before. I hated who I was and I was just miserable. And I was just like, life is too short to live like that.
Whew, you said a mouthful right there. I like the fact that throughout this situation, you are explaining and kind of dispelling those popular beliefs that, you're not giving all that you can, or, you know, everything can be fixed through counseling. You're absolutely right. Counseling is for those who want to fix the issue that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely not that. So right. Kudos to you for recognizing that and making a change. I found it interesting earlier today before our conversation, I started looking up some statistics because, of course, we hear about these situations, but we never know exactly how prevalent they are until we look at the reported incidents. And I want to repeat this, reported incidents, because there are so many that aren't. So statistically, in Alabama, just for 2022, 37.5% of women have experienced some form of domestic violence within their lifetime. For men, it is 29.5. And the reason I'm putting so much emphasis on reported is because, like I said, these are the people that came forward to report these things. And I definitely want to make it plain that regardless of gender, if you are experiencing this, do not feel lesser than, or don't feel like you are snitching, or if you're belittling yourself or giving up if you report this. You're doing this for your safety, because regardless of what this person may have you thinking or make you feel like, there are people who love you and care about you enough in your circle or in your family that would want to see you thrive and not go through these things. And that's just in Alabama. I went straight to the top because I wanted to see exactly how bad it is, because this is something that is talked about, but not in depth. It's fleeting. You hear about it for a little while and then it's quiet again. And I wanted to make more ruckus. So I looked up in 2022, what state had the most cases reported, and it was Oklahoma. Statistically, 49% of women in Oklahoma in 2022 have experienced some form of domestic violence, and 40% for men. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
And the fact that this number is lower than what the actuality is a problem. This is an epidemic. It's something that absolutely needs to be addressed. It makes my heart break, honestly, because I have nieces. I have women who've, in passing, made small comments about things they've experienced. And when I've tried to approach them, you know, about it, they clam up. So hopefully with us having conversations like these, Hillary, this will open the door for people who need to at least get the ball rolling, at least talk to someone, you know. Or if you're a friend, or if you're an advocate and you have someone who comes to mind, please get through to that person, because this is terrifying. There are so many stories of people and loss of life and in a situation that can be prevented. So I really urge everyone to reach out to that person that you were concerned about. I wanted to ask you this, because being an advocate is pretty awesome. In what ways could someone, I guess, reach out to a professional to get more tips? Because like myself, I had no idea what questions to ask, what hot buttons to stay away from. Like, how can we get that type of guidance on helping those we're concerned about?
That is a great question. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for saying that about the reported cases, because I do feel those statistic numbers would be so much higher if people did report as stuff happened to them. And then also on top of that, a lot of times people aren't aware of what domestic violence is. They have grown up in these situations where this is completely normal to them. Like, this has happened to their mom. It's happened to their grandmom. It's just, they have grown up in this. And honestly, like, that perpetuation of domestic violence is what causes more domestic violence, because it is so normal to them. So we have so many people that come to us and they're reading through, you know, the resources talking about like the dynamics and signs of domestic violence, and they're like, I had no idea this is what was happening to me. Like, stuff like gaslighting and verbal abuse, they're like, I didn't realize that was domestic violence. It's like, oh, all of it is. Like, it is all moving parts of this big, big monster. And yes, definitely reach out to the people that you know are dealing with this, because sometimes all it takes is just knowing that there's somebody else out there who loves you and cares about you, because The abuser's primary goal is to make you think that you have nobody but them, and it feeds their ego, and they love having that power and control over you. So they're going to do everything they can to keep it. Do not believe anything that they're saying. There are so many people out there who love and care about you, including people who have never met you before. I will tell you that I love and care about you, and I don't want to see anybody ever, ever go through this kind of thing. So I'm always just a phone call away, ready to help, ready to offer advice. I have friends from other states who will reach out to me and be like, hey, this is the situation I'm dealing with. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, let me look up shelters for you in your state, and you connect with somebody. The best thing you can do is call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. All you have to do is Google it. I'm sorry, I don't have the number in front of me. But if you Google the National Domestic Violence Hotline, they will connect you with the shelter and resources in your area. They will do it off of your phone number. So basically, you can call as a friend, or you can call as the victim yourself, and just let the person know what's going on and what you want to do. It doesn't mean that you have to leave your home right that second and go into emergency shelter. It doesn't mean that you have to call the police right away and press charges against them. But you can at least get advice specific to your situation and help you come up with a plan to get out of it.
That's it. And in the comment section below and on the screen, we'll display the National Domestic Violence Hotline. So you can definitely take action and save a life, whether it be your own or someone that you're caring about. So I appreciate that. Hillary, this has been an amazing conversation. I would love to do this again, actually, if we could.
Anytime. You just say when.
Yes, ma'am. So, well, with that being said, this has been Sir, Miss Hillary. And if you care about that person, and if this struck true with you, definitely please pursue help.
And if I can add, this past month, I have been able to work with several male survivors of domestic violence, which has been incredible. And it's not like I'm like, yay, men are getting abused too. But I am so happy to see them coming to us. That is so huge, because a lot of times it is really, really hard for men to admit, like, hey, I'm in a situation, I don't know what to do, I'm afraid. This person is hurting me, and I feel like I can't tell anybody about it without getting made fun of. Let me tell you, there is absolutely zero judgment. And several of the men that I've worked with, they've said to me, I didn't know that y'all helped men. I didn't know domestic violence shelters had resources for men. Oh no, we have resources for everybody. And when I say nobody deserves to be in that situation, I mean, absolutely nobody deserves to be in that situation. And I hope nobody ever feels embarrassed about being in that situation. It is perfectly normal to feel, you know, some kind of self-blame and be like, well, I got myself into this situation. I still deal with that many, many years later, where I'm like, if I would have just done this sooner, I would have completely avoided all the heartache. We're humans. We make mistakes. You still never deserve to be abused or be called names or treated like you're not appreciated and not valued, because I assure you that you are.
Oh my God. When I tell you, I wish I had known that back in like 2013, I was dating someone, and she was going through, she was getting her master's, and we were dating at first. Everything was fine. She was really cool. And slowly but surely, her tone would change when she's frustrated with school. And she would just demean me, like, whether in person, over text message. And for a while, I was like, you know what? I get it. She's stressed. You know, she's dealing with, you know, getting her next degree. So I totally get it. But I didn't know that that would be the precursor of what was to come. And I did deal with domestic violence for a year. And I totally resonate with the men feeling like they didn't know this existed, because I would say little things in front of my friends to kind of send that lifeline out, like, help me. Because I didn't know what to do. And they would say, I would tell them stories of incidents where she'd be studying and she'd get frustrated. She'd trash my room or actually hit me. And they would be like, oh man, that's crazy. I didn't know she was like that. And that would be the end. It would not be. And the empathy after a while became hollow to me, because I'm requesting action or advice, but I found out I was looking in the wrong places. So I've made some adjustments then, you know, and I was brave enough to let that situation go. And yeah, it did get turned. I got turned into a villain for a few months afterwards because, you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was glad that that the peace I got after, you know, a few months of starting to love myself was irreplaceable. So I'm glad to hear that other men are finding, I guess, loving themselves enough to make that step towards peace. So that's amazing.
Absolutely.
That's really
no. Great. And thank you so much for sharing that. I hate that you went through it, and I hate you didn't have the support that you needed, but I'm so proud of you, and I'm so glad that you got out of it safely.
Yeah. So I didn't want to hold you long because I know we all have things to do, but we will definitely be doing a part two of this, Hillary. So
yes, that sounds great. I'm ready when you are.
All right. So that being said, thank you again, Hillary. You are amazing.
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
No problem. And this has been your boy, Sir, and we are out.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, this is Mystique.
This is Mr. Everlasting.
And this is the Safe Word.
Safe Word. Y'all make sure y'all join us every first and third Friday of the month. Every month. We are in season 3.
Season 3.
Y'all already know what it is, man. Tap in.